I'd like to ask you to take a Bible in hand and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Over the last year, we have spent most of our time in the book of Ephesians, and this morning, Neil will conclude our series through the book of Ephesians that we've entitled Our Place in This World, God's Good and Sovereign Order in the Church. About a year and a half ago, we looked through Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and we entitled that God's Good Order, a Good and Sovereign Order in Creation. And now we've been looking at who we are as the people of God assembled together in local congregations and what is our place in the world. And so we're coming to the end of that series here this morning, and I'm delighted that Neil will be bringing us this message. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through the end of the chapter, verse 24, is our reading for this morning, and I'd like to pray before we read it. Lord, thank you for bringing us this far throughout the entire book of Ephesians. I do pray that we might know more about our place in this world as your people, and that we would continue to follow Jesus wherever he leads, here at home, across the city, in Manitoba, in Canada, North America, or on the other side of the world. The point is that if you are with us, then we are in our place. And if we are with you, we are fulfilling your purpose for us. And as Neil brings this message this morning, pray in the Spirit. May we have hearts and minds that are open and responding in faith to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning with verse 18, it's a little awkward because it's in the right there at the end of the paragraph, but we'll pick it up from there, verse 18 and following. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Mark. It's kind of humbling to finish this long series we've been going through on the book of Ephesians, and it's really a book that calls us to be children of Jesus, to be people that work together. One of the headings is talking about people who are children of light and people of grace. So the book of Ephesians has a lot to tell us, so I'm very thankful to be able to kind of wrap it up, but thanks to Mark and Chris who've done the majority of the work preaching us through this book over the last several months. This talk today, this is going to focus on prayer, and I think prayer is one of the most misunderstood aspects of the Christian faith. We'll spend a little time talking about what prayer is and really what prayer isn't as we go through these final greetings together. Here's some examples of prayer. God, are you a ninja? Is that why I can't see you? But what this shows is that in prayer, you can make your misunderstandings known to God. Lord, I don't really know what's going on. Help me with this answer. How about this one? Dear God, please change the taste of asparagus. It's gross. So you can engender supernatural requests from God in prayer. It's not going to work for asparagus, I think. Dear God, if you watch in church on Sunday, I will show you my new shoes. I thought that's really cute. So that's showing intimacy with God. I want you to know what's really going on in my life. And that's another one of the invitations of prayer. And this one, again, sometimes you can even feel betrayed by God and let him know, dear God, thank you for the baby brother. What I really prayed for was a puppy. So even though we've been kind of down on our knees telling God what we want, sometimes things don't work out the way we had hoped in prayer. So aside from having a little fun with these ideas, I just want to ask you a simple question. How's your prayer life? How's that going? What does that look like for you, for me? It's an important question that I really just want us to focus on for a minute, and honestly, how is my prayer life? Anywhere from 0 to 100, right? Those are the options. I'm not praying at all. Prayer doesn't work. Or, as we're going to talk about today, I'm praying all the time. Kind of 0 to 100. How is your prayer life? Is your prayer life simple, like a child just praying for the health of its pet, or maybe for food to come tomorrow in a place in Africa where they are hungry? Simple prayer, Lord, can I have food tomorrow? How about this type of prayer? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, with the whole weight of sin of the world on his back, praying that this might be taken from him. Simple prayer to, oh my goodness, an incredible, difficult time exposed to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you're like this. I don't pray because it doesn't work. Prayer doesn't fix anything. Bad things happen anyway. So this type of thing, I don't really know who Nicholas Sparks is. I have no clue. But if you look for various memes on the internet, you find lots of negative things about prayer. It was kind of surprising to me to see these negative things said about prayer. And this idea that it doesn't work. Well, we'll explore maybe that again together today. If you're saying prayer doesn't work, I wonder if you're looking at it the wrong way. Does prayer work? It seems that Nicholas believes that prayer has to fix things. It's a fixer. It's like a mechanic. I take my life to the mechanic and it gets fixed. That's what Nicholas seems to be believing about prayer. And that it's an insulator. It insulates us against bad things. So because of those two premises don't appear to be true, Nicholas says prayer doesn't work. But maybe you're like this. Maybe you're praying really, really hard about something really, really important, and you don't seem to be getting any kind of answer from God. You feel silent. You feel distant from the Lord. Maybe that's something that you're kind of going through right now. So not doubting about prayer, but frustrated in your prayer. God's not answering this prayer. And I think many of us have to admit this is true for us. We've been praying about things sometimes over and over and over again, and they don't seem to be answered. If you read books on prayer, it talks about how many millions of prayers for healing have been offered up to God and seem to go either unanswered or the answer is no, that person is not going to be healed. We have to explore these together. So legitimate questions about prayer. Does God hear our prayers? Does God answer our prayers? How am I supposed to pray? So we'll spend a little time detouring through these important questions before we go to our text from Ephesians today and conclude that book. Well, let's go to yourdictionary.com. I'm sure this is where you get all of your spiritual information from. And it says prayer is a noun, and I think that's probably true. The definition of a prayer is a wish or a communication with God. A wish or a communication with God. And it says this example of a prayer is when you hope and wish that your family will all stay healthy. A noble prayer, for sure. A noble wish. But I would say, does that leave that definition in your mind feeling it's maybe a little bit more than that? Would you say, come on, yourdictionary.com, you could do a bit better than that? I'd like you to try this one on for size. Maybe prayer is relationship. Think of prayer as relationship and what happens in relationships. Well, in relationships, we communicate. In relationships, we share what's going on in my life, and I want to hear what's going on in your life. In relationships, we share joy and we share sadness. We share grief. We share things that are really praiseworthy and things that make us feel terrible. Maybe that gives us a more full, robust idea of what prayer is. So I think if we look at relationship, we can see some scriptural examples here of prayer. Seeking the favor of the Lord. What a beautiful idea. And again, seeking the favor of a person you're in relationship with. That makes sense. Pouring out your soul before the Lord, whether it's joy or sadness or grief or fear or being humbled by an experience or being ashamed, feeling guilt, whatever it is you're feeling, pour it out for the Lord, crying out to heaven. Another idea of prayer, seeking God and pleading for help. Again, from Psalm 73, clearly relational, drawing near to God. Would it be reasonable to say that you can't say prayer doesn't work when it talks about drawing near? It's a silly thing. Prayers aren't answered when you just think of drawing near to one. It depends how you look at the premise of prayer. And how about this one, dropping to our knees and submitting to God? An example of prayer. I would say to you, that works. It puts you in the appropriate station before God when we're on our knees in submission. So does God hear our prayers? Just two simple pieces of scripture. They're almost identical. We'll just go to Psalm 18:6 to speed this along a little bit. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. What a beautiful picture that the Creator, the most powerful, the Almighty, hears you when you cry, hears me when I cry. That's a beautiful thing. Many of you are parents in the room, and especially if you have young kids, the baby monitor tells you when someone's crying in the house. And you're attentive to those tears. We hear our children cry and we respond to them. A beautiful picture of the Lord. So the Lord hears our prayers. That's what the Bible teaches. So that gets us into the first place here. You'll see this on many church signs. I love it. God answers an email. Okay, God hears my prayer, but I'm sure you've heard God doesn't answer my prayers. I'm sure you've heard that expression from people. But I would say that prayer is a relationship, and the relationship begins with submission. If we go back a few weeks to Ephesians 5:21, in the family context, it talks about people submitting to each other. Submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. Well, if we're to submit to each other, especially in family relationships, why, what more should we be submitting to God? That's the position of the Christian. Jesus said, if you want to be first, serve all. If you want to be first, be last. That's really the position on the knees. The book of Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's like a person on their knees, a person in submission. Again, from the book of Ephesians, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. So does prayer work? Well, you can answer that yourself by saying, do I submit? Do I submit to God? So if you're finding your prayer life is like on that low side of the scale, a zero, as opposed to a high 90, I think we have to look at ourselves first. Do I come at the center of everything, only concerned about myself? Okay, maybe I'm not sending an email. Maybe I'm just sending information like an email. So I would put it to you that God answers all prayers, but the answers are just not always yes. And we know this. We've prayed here together for the healing of people that we love. I think back to a lovely young woman. Her name was Ruth Wilgosh. Many of you will know her. We supported her family as missionaries. And Ruth died in her 30s of breast cancer. And many of you will remember Dick Kirk, an elder of our church. And Dick was heartbroken that Ruth died because God didn't answer the prayer. Well, I would put it to you that God did answer the prayer, but the answer was no. I'm not healing Ruth. And we had to deal with the sadness of that. And I know many of you have prayed for people in your families to be healed. And the answer seems to be no. And we have to deal with that. But it's an answer. And we'll explore that today. Jesus teaches us that the answer no is okay. So let's look at a really powerful yes answer. And this powerful yes answer comes from Acts 12. And I'm going to read to you from most of the chapter. This is a really powerful yes answer to prayer. It's about Peter. People are being killed around him. It says, "About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to the four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And now when Herod was about to bring him out that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, 'Get up quickly!' And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, 'Dress yourself and put on your sandals.' And he did so. And he said, 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me.' And he went out and followed him. He did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first gate and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, 'Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod, from all that the Jewish people were expecting.' When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. But they said to her, 'You're out of your mind.' But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, 'It's his angel.' But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought them out of the prison." A beautiful yes answer to prayer. Help Peter. Please free Peter. Get those chains off him. Let the guards let him go. Look what happened to Peter. A beautiful yes answer. There are no answers, and we think of none more powerful than Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is wrestling with all of our sin. It's coming to him, and he knows it. In his humanity, he says to the Lord, "Take this cup from me." But then he says, "Not my will, Lord, but yours." And the Bible references tears, in fact, tears of blood. A great example of prayer. Let me ask you, when was the last time in your prayer time you were crying? Is it kind of a rote thing? I have to say a few prayers here? Or is there some emotion? The answer to Jesus here was no. The cup is not coming from you. I'm afraid you have to be the lamb and take all that punishment on you. And he did so for us. A beautiful example of his humanity and his divinity in that one example. So we have a yes answer from the Bible, the book of Acts, and we have a no answer from the life of Jesus to prayer. There are slow answers as well. The slow answer, we think of Jesus not going to Lazarus right away. The book of John 11, talks about Mary and Martha asking for Jesus to come and heal his brother, their brother, Lazarus. And he intentionally delays. And the intentional delay sees Lazarus die. But what it does is it heightens the miracle that Jesus is eventually able to demonstrate. So an answer to prayer is sometimes slow. Not yet. Not yet. And that's where we have to have faith in our prayer life. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes the answer is not yet. Go slow. Sometimes the answer is grow. We see this from the book of James. It's interesting to hear the story read in Acts. James put to death, we read. And James wrote that we should consider trials joy. You know, we talk about the flat tire analogy, that if I have a flat tire, it's a trial, I should consider it joy. James was probably in a place like being in prison or threatened to be killed for his faith when he said, consider trials joy. That's a much more sobering thing than me considering a flat tire in my life as a little trial. So James wrote this, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. I guess this would be an indictment of us if we're praying for stuff. Seems like it's an indictment if we're praying for things, material things in particular. So sometimes the answer is just no, you've got to grow up. You're praying selfishly. Be a reasonable answer to a prayer. The person might say, that prayer wasn't answered. If we look at it more in depth, okay, it was answered, but the answer was no. So praying like a disciple, living like a disciple, this idea that prayer should be on equal footing with love at the center of your life. Prayer should be an important thing to us. The Son of God felt a compelling desire to pray. We're told over and over that he got away to try and pray, many times by himself. And Jesus prayed like it made a difference. I think that's the way we have to assume we have to pray, like it makes a difference. So in summary, prayer is really submission. I love this picture. And you've heard me say before that the hands-up aspect of prayer comes from people in the times of Rome when they were going to be arrested. They put their hands up, the Christian people, so they could have the chains put on their hands easily as they submitted to the authority. That's the picture of prayer. I submit to God. Here are my hands. I'm on my knees, showing that I am nothing in consideration to you, Lord. And I have to acknowledge that my prayers are answered. And sometimes the answer is not yes, as I would hope it would be. So what does our text teach us about prayer today from the book of Ephesians chapter 6? It comes on the tail of the armor of God that Chris preached about to us last week. And it just kind of begins at the last aspect of the armor of God. And it's hard to think of prayer being part of the armor, but the Bible commentators talk about it like being the weaving of all of the armor together. Because the armor of God is to help protect us. And clearly, the Lord teaches that prayer is a way that we can have his protection. So it says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, or with all prayer and requests. So this idea of praying at all times, that gets us away from the zero score of never praying. That's the 100% score. I pray at all times. And I think it's really helpful for us to have cues in our lives. that take us to prayer. How about in a good time, when you're really having a fun time? We had a really fun time with the youth at our house on Friday night. We played a little bit of laser tag, and I killed a lot of young people, and it felt really, really good to do so. But it's tag, not laser kill, right? But was thankful. Good, it was a fun time. So a cue in your life. When you're something good happens, I'm going to pray. Thanks, God. That's great. How about in a bad time? I think many of us do go to the Lord more in a bad time. I got bad news from the doctor. I got fired. Wow, Lord, I need your help. It's perhaps an easier time to go to prayer. Successful times, got the promotion. And how about immediately going to humility? Well, Lord, that's not my skill. That's not me. That's a blessing from you. So simple little cues, little reflexes. James talks about trials. The book of Romans, the book of James, and other books talk about trials being there to help our character. If you're having a bad time, Lord, what's the character development I'm supposed to be going through here? Where in me am I needing to be matured? That's what the book of Romans talks about, suffering. It's related to our developing more maturity. That takes a lot of spiritual strength to go there when you're suffering, to say, Lord, I'm looking for you to help me see why this is happening. I love this father in Mark 9:24, whose boy has been healed. The boy's been having convulsions. He's deaf. He's blind. Nope, I think deaf and mute, perhaps. And he's healed by Jesus. And the father says, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. We all have doubts. If you are having doubts about God, about the Bible, Lord, help me with my doubts. Help me with my doubts. A biblical prayer. And for me, this praying in times of anxiety, times of worry, I think it's one of the most beautiful parts in all of Scriptures, that Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, prayer and asking, prayer and requesting, make your requests known to God. And the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. We need that peace. That's a beautiful prayer. So reflex prayers, more and more. Okay, now we can see that maybe I would be praying more than I do, say, just 3 minutes in the morning before I go to work. Praying at all times, how in the Spirit, with all prayer and requests or prayer and supplications, praying in the Spirit. Again, the first thing I would suggest is that we kind of take ourselves out of the center. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. And we take a little time. Simple question, how much time do you give for devoted prayer in your life? How much time? Is that 2 minutes? Is it 5 minutes? Is it no minutes? Is that I'm too busy today to have any minutes? And I would suggest most of us got things going on, a lot going on. Don't really have much time to pray today. And so asking yourself that question, can I slow down and give some time to pray? It says to pray in the Spirit, so I suppose we're supposed to invite the Spirit in. Dear Spirit, be with me now as I pray. Seems like a reasonable thing to do. Pray in the Spirit at all times. The psalm says, be still. Be still. Slow down. And that will give the chance to the Spirit to come into the prayer. I think I was a little bit rebuked in my study for this lesson. I used to talk about listening prayer a lot. And from what I read, we need to be pretty careful with listening prayer. Chris talked about it this morning when he said God speaks to us in prayer. How? Through the Bible. Special revelation for me sitting in my desk? Maybe not. There's revelation for us. And the still small voice of God is referred to only once in Scripture, in the book of 1 Kings. It's referred to, but it's not the voice for you, for you, for you. So we just need to be careful. Yes, God can speak to us, but we need to ask ourselves the deep question, is there going to be a special revelation for me today? Maybe there will be. I would just offer some caution there. The revelation, I think, is the Bible, and that's where we can have God speak to us. We can open it up, and we can methodically go through that in prayer and read what the Bible says to us about prayer. And here's the great mystery, the book of Romans. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. What an incredible picture. Groaning that cannot be uttered for you. Frankly, because we don't have a clue. We don't know what we should be praying for. So a sobering reminder, thanks for the Spirit at all times. With all prayer and supplication, the next part of that verse. So supplication or requests is a different word than prayer. Part of our prayers were asked to make requests, often for other people. But prayer shouldn't just be requests. Prayer is a different part of the relationship. And then all styles of prayer. And the Bible talks about different styles of prayer. And we can see them, this somber prayer, the desperate prayer, the biblical prayer. And the Bible has different postures of prayer. It talks about kneeling in prayer, bowing and falling down in anguish of prayer, spreading out your hands in prayer, standing to pray. All biblical descriptions of the all types of prayer. So pray in the Spirit at all times, with all types of prayer and supplications, asking requests. And to that end, keep alert and pray with perseverance. I came across this little picture, and it's terrible English, but I love it. Keep me looking, Jesus. Mark talks a lot about our purpose as humans is to image God. Let me look like Jesus looked, right? Keep me looking, Jesus. I think you can also put a comma in there. Keep me looking, Jesus. Let me be looking at the world like I'm looking with your eyes. Help me to see the world as you would see it. But I think this kind of summarizes perseverance. Keep me, Lord, keep me. I am prone to wander, prone to walk away. A beautiful prayer for perseverance. In the midst of turmoil or conflict, we will not be shaken, for our heart remains steadfast, trusting in you and your overall plan for our life. A prayer for perseverance. Back to our text. To that end, keep alert and with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So supplication, again, requests or a deep entreaty. Please, 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 that kind of an entreaty. So the simple implication, we are to pray for others, and especially the saints of God. Simple question, who are you praying for right now? And how do you remember to pray for them? Do you have a list? A list would be good. And going through the list every day, and adding to it every day. Oh yeah, I want to pray for her. Pam and Len Friesen came on the horizon over the last couple of months. We need to be praying for these people. Oh, my goodness. I saw Dave and Shanley Burrell up on the list. So how do we remember to pray for people if we don't have a list? So simple question, who are you praying for? Do you have a list? Do you write down answers to prayer? I would tell you there's nothing more exciting than seeing a powerful yes answer to your prayer. When you prayed for someone in a specific circumstance, and that within a week, wow, Lord, thank you. That was so cool. We all prayed for that together as a church, and you answered it with a beautiful yes answer. So I wonder if we rob ourselves of that sense of thankfulness to God and insight into prayer by just not writing things down or keeping track of them kind of the moment by moment. So simple questions. But it says, making supplications for all the saints. We need to be praying for each other, praying for other people, praying for each other. Let's commit to do that. Let's commit to pray for each other because you are saints. And the Bible says that we're supposed to do so. Paul goes on to say, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, literally in chains, just like Peter was, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So again, pray that the good news goes out. Wasn't that a beautiful video we were able to watch today of Mission Fest? A beautiful picture. Pray that kids can get to Jesus. Pray that kids are looked after. Pray that they're protected. What a beautiful conference to have. Mission conference for kids at risk. A beautiful prayer. I'm ahead of myself. That words for our mouths. We sing a song that it's your breath in my lungs, let me praise you. I love that image. Not even my breath is my own, really. Beautiful image. But words for our mouths. Lord, help me say the right thing. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. What a beautiful prayer to say. If you speak to people in your job as part of what you do, that's another simple prayer that we could be saying at all times. Lord, may the words of my mouth. I'm about to have a fight with my wife. It never happens. She who shall not be mentioned. Lord, may the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. I'm not going to fight. Right? May the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. I'm not going to fight. Paul said this literally in chains. He was literally in chains, an ambassador in chains. And we need to pray for people who are persecuted for their faith all over the world. And we do that perhaps somewhat glibly. That's one of the things I think we could be praying with tears as we think of folks who are persecuted for their faith. The final greetings of the book of Ephesians is about encouragement, faith, love, and grace. Those four beautiful Christian words, encouragement, faith, love, and grace. So that you may also know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. So Tychicus, it's hard to say his name three times fast, but he was a trusted messenger, a faithful preacher. He was a friend of Paul's in Ephesus. He was able to go to the jail and away from the jail. He's mentioned five times in the New Testament. But he was apparently someone who would go and encourage other people. That's what we are told he would do. Go and encourage other people. A person who had important tasks. Paul says, peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of you who love our Lord Jesus. And those are beautiful disciple words, faith, love, and grace. The definition of love by Jesus himself, obedience, an action. Love is not an emotion, it's an action of obedience. And how did he say we really loved our neighbor? By doing something to somebody who's not from our people group. Loving people outside our people group. Outside those people who are just like us. Faith. The book of Hebrews says faith is hope in things not seen. Not things that have been disproven, but things that are not seen. Having faith. And then grace. Justice is where you get what you deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. And grace is when you get a gift that you don't deserve. Unmerited favor. And that's how Paul closes off this book. Give these things to each other. Love, faith, grace, encouragement. Who here would not love those things? It's a shame how the Christian message gets changed so easily. But love, faith, grace, encouragement. Take it from Paul. So I would put it to you that prayer is fundamentally a position of oneself. A position of relationship, of submission, at the feet of Jesus, hands up, I'm ready to be arrested, bended knee, showing you're willing to submit yourself. I would say that prayer and love are the two key aspects that we need to have as disciples. Prayer, that notion of communication, and love, the notion of action done in relationship. Relationship with Jesus. Communication and action. So we'll end with this. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? If your prayer life is down around a zero, I just hope you would be able to enjoy what can happen this week. Don't put the Lord to the test, but maybe try something. Maybe try writing a few prayers down. What have you got to lose? Write a few prayers down. And take yourself out of the center of those prayers. But maybe you've just been told you have cancer, and it's very hard for you to get out of the center of those prayers. And that's okay. But praying for other people, praying for the saints, trying to do it in the Spirit, being a little quiet, letting the Spirit groan for you, because that's what the Bible says it does. And trying to have cues as the day goes. I'm feeling a little thankful, I'm going to pray. I'm feeling scared, I'm going to pray. I'm feeling anxious, I'm going to pray. What a great blessing, I'm going to pray. Some reflex prayers. How's your prayer life? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for having the book of Ephesians written for us. Thank you for the opportunity to study it these many weeks. Thank you for some of the powerful lessons it gives us. Thank you for Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, that tells us that we have been saved by grace through faith, and tells us that you have prepared works for us to walk into in advance. Thank you for teaching us the importance through Ephesians of being on our knees in prayer. Thank you for teaching us right relationships through the book of Ephesians. Thank you for teaching us about unity. Help us to be your good people, taking these things to heart. Help us today to be people of prayer, people of encouragement, people of faith, people of love, and people of grace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.